Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, The Western Wall, was written by Joseph Mindell and is the second in a series entitled Jerusalem, the Golden. In Jerusalem, where the streets are paved with history, thoughts make a bridge to other times. Today's footsteps mingle in the shadow of the Western Wall with the voices of those who walked here long ago. The rough, scarred stones testify to a paradox, bearing double witness both to destruction and to survival, so that one who stands before them, touching with a hand the solid reality of stone, must ask, what was destroyed? And what survived? How and why? And whoever asks may then hear voices that still echo from the Western Wall, voices 19 centuries old.
Your platoon is responsible for this section of the wall, Joshua, from the gate to the tower at the corner.
Yeah.
Joshua.
I'm listening, Matthias.
Are you? Without turning your head? Joshua, the Romans will not disappear if you glare at them.
There's a reconnaissance party riding around the walls.
Is that all? You are easily distracted.
Look at the leader of the party, Matthias. Look at him. On a prancing horse with pennants waving and trumpets blowing, as if he were
who he is, Titus, son of the emperor, commander of the Romans. I saw him more than once in Galilee when he forced us out of one city after another.
Titus himself, almost within arrow shot of the walls.
He's only human, and therefore curious to see Jerusalem with his own eyes.
But he has only a company of horsemen with him.
Before you think rash thoughts, Joshua, remember the entire Roman army just behind him.
Yes. From the gate to the tower, you said. Did you also say how many men?
You heard me, Joshua. A platoon.
Matthias, how many men are out there waiting to see Jerusalem at closer range?
Well, you're entitled to know. There are three legions camped on Mount Scopus, another on the Mount of Olives, and a fifth legion on the way.
Our intelligence is very detailed.
The Romans make no secret of their strength.
Then you also know about their weapons.
I've seen them and the work they do. Catapults, missile throwers, battering rams, and other siege engines. Well, now you know everything, Joshua. Let me only remind you that for those who have a city to defend, only one mood is more dangerous than rashness. Despair.
I will remember, Matthias.
Good. And if you have no more questions...
One more. I know about the Romans, but what about us? Tell me, Matthias, what do we have?
Well, don't you know, Joshua? We have the walls of Jerusalem.
There is only a wall, no corner at either end, no roof. A wall the length of the street and high, so that you must turn your head up toward heaven to see the top. And if, enveloped by the sounds of the city, you stand before the huge stones cut by ancient skill and joined layer upon layer without mortar, if, with head uplifted, there is a quivering of the heart at the impossibility of grasping all, and all at once an immensity that stretches from past to present, then it may be reassuring to remember how Jerusalem's Nobel laureate, Shmuel Joseph Agnon, measured the stones.
The western wall, vestige of our treasures of ancient days, which the Almighty in His mercy left for us, is the height of 12 people, symbolizing the 12 tribes. This is so that each one who looks may direct his thoughts to his own height at his stone.
There he comes, Joshua.
Where? Oh. Yes, it's Titus again.
He's still looking us over.
Listen to me, Simeon. From now on, you are to note carefully what time he makes his tour, how many men he takes and their arms, how close to the walls he rides.
Now, Joshua...
If you can't remember everything, then write down a complete account.
I know what is in your mind, but Matthias...
Never mind, Matthias. Do as I order you, Simeon.
Well, if you say so. All the same,
Joshua.
Matthias...
Rachel, you don't belong here at the wall.
Now, Joshua, that's not a way to talk to your wife.
I came to see my husband. It's a natural wish.
Is it? Did you come to spend an amusing hour with me watching the Romans sharpen their swords?
Other men come down from the walls when they can to eat, to rest, to be with their families.
I see. Then no doubt you have brought fresh linen and hot food for the brave defender of the wall who has not come home.
Why are you angry with me, Joshua?
I'm angry on account of the wall, because a wall encloses and a wall shuts out, and neither way provides safety.
You're not angry, but you shout and send me away.
If I came down from the wall, Rachel, to be with you, then, knowing how few are the days, if I came down, I would never leave you to return to the wall. You understand, Rachel?
No. Yes, I understand. But that is not how I want it to be.
You do not have a choice, nor do I.
You are not alone in Jerusalem. You do not have to defend the wall all by yourself.
From the gate to the tower, that is my responsibility, and there is no one besides me.
You exaggerate, Joshua. In the first
be
place,
still,
there
please.
Is our platoon. Not to mention the platoons on both sides. And there is a second wall inside this one and a third wall inside the second.
I suppose you mean well.
The city is secure, Joshua. If not now, when will you take an hour to go home?
I'll tell you when, Simeon. When the Romans decide to go home.
I tell you, Trifo, we Romans ought to go home.
Just you and I, Rufus, or the whole Roman army?
You joke if you like, but we camp here while every day Titus rides around the city just looking at the walls.
We get our food and pay, don't we? Polish your armor and be thankful there's no fighting.
Well, what's a soldier for if not to be fighting?
What is it? What's happening?
The Jews have opened a gate in the wall. They're running out to attack Titus and his cavalry troop. Come on, Trifo.
Sit down, Rufus.
Don't you see? Titus needs help.
Maybe so, but we have no orders.
Orders? Well, you're getting old, Trifo.
Yes. Getting old has long been an ambition of mine. Look. Look at Titus.
Well, he's fighting with the strength of a dozen men.
You see? He doesn't need your help after all. Yeah, he's getting away.
Tell all my captains to report to my tent at once.
Well, Rufus, you can stop polishing your armor. Titus is done with merely looking at the walls of Jerusalem.
Don't let them bring the battering rams up to the walls. You there!
Yes, Matthias!
You may answer yes or no when I tell you what I want. It's a dangerous mission. Help him! Cut out the arrow.
And bind his wounds.
He's dead. A dangerous mission, you said. Not safe like fighting here in the wall.
Do not take death lightly, my friend. That tower overlooking the Roman forces. I want you to climb to the highest point where you can see the catapults.
As you say, Matthias.
I haven't told you what to do.
Oh, I can guess. When I see the stone leave the catapult, I call out a warning.
Be careful.
What did you say?
I said... Joshua! Send Joshua to me.
Here.
I'm here, Matthias. But I can't leave my section for long.
Yesterday you left the wall without hesitation.
There was sufficient reason.
Was there? When you opened the gate, you risked opening the city to the Roman legions.
There is always risk. But the prize was Titus himself.
Rome would have sent another general or five others and 10 more legions. How many lives paid for the attempt?
There is always a price to be paid. You can't win a war without fighting.
You presume to instruct me, Joshua? I fought in Galilee, and I know the price that must be paid. My brother fell in the Battle of Tiberias. My son outside of Jericho.
I meant no disrespect, Matthias. No one questions your courage.
Only my judgment. Now listen, Joshua. I will instruct you. Count the Roman soldiers and their weapons. Then calculate the price they can pay and the terrible burden of any price that we must pay.
What are you saying? That we can only wait behind the walls until the Romans break them down?
No. Maybe tomorrow I myself will send you through the gate again. But the risk and the gain must be commensurate. And in our terms, not theirs.
So far, Joshua, the Romans have taken the entire country. Except the fortress of Masada in the deserts.
And except Jerusalem.
Yes. As long as we hold Jerusalem, the heart of Israel still lives. What is it, Joshua? What are you looking for?
Listen. Listen, Messias.
I hear nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Everything has stopped.
Matthias!
Well, what do you see from the tower?
Matthias! I see that the battering rams have reached the wall!
The first wall was breached on the 15th day of the siege. There was hand-to-hand fighting in the streets behind the rubble of the wall. The defenders, ignorant of Roman tactics, lost heavily in close combat and fell back through the massive gates of the second wall.
How many men are left in your platoon, Joshua?
18, Matthias.
So few. Tomorrow the platoons on either side will cover the section of the wall assigned to you.
We're going through the gate?
The first light of day. Be sure your men understand the objective. To destroy the siege machines, battering rams, towers, anything they can set afire.
Yes.
And Joshua.
Yes, Matthias.
No heroics. We cannot afford to pay the price.
Rachel!
I had to know where your new wall was.
My wall. Well, here it is.
I was just leaving.
It will be morning in a few hours. Don't go, Rachel.
You're no longer angry, Joshua?
That's true. I'm not angry. Aren't you pleased?
I'm not sure. Is it because you no longer hope?
I don't know, Rachel. Stay with me.
Of course.
But in the morning, you must go into the center of the city. Remember, Rachel, you must leave the wall.
Night was sleepless and more oppressive than the day, but it was silent. But every morning, the battering rams began their attack on the walls, and every morning the defenders rushed out upon the siege machines with axe and torch, then returned behind the wall to unaccustomed stillness.
They bring up 2 new machines for each one that we burn. The second wall was breached 9 days after the first. The third wall was protected by fortresses, and containing a smaller area was more heavily manned by the defenders. Then Titus drew the Roman lines closely around the city, letting no one in, so that food became scarce and famine was a new and silent death. Silent, except for the thousands driven by hunger who found a way through the Roman lines, only to be hunted down by the legionaries.
The poor people. Oh, the poor people.
Turn your eyes away, Rahel.
Why do the Romans torture them? Oh, why, Joshua, why?
So that we may see how cruel they are and be persuaded to surrender.
Doesn't it make you angry, Joshua?
There's nothing we can do to help them.
Doesn't anything make you angry any longer?
Rahel.
You've given up everything. Anger, hope, the wish to live.
No, Rahel. I was angry when I thought I had no choice. When it seemed to me that survival depended on the wall.
Don't you mean on 3 walls?
But what survives? Not I, nor anyone. No person lives forever. Nor does a wall, nor a city. But thought survives. The idea of a city. The meaning, the soul of Jerusalem. And what I do or refuse to do is part of the meaning. A measure of survival. I can choose after all, Rachel. Don't you see?
No. But maybe if you do, that will suffice for me as well. Joshua, I'm hungry.
What can I do? I have no food for you.
There's a market in the outer courtyard of the temple.
What can they have to sell? Stones and dry earth?
I still have my mother's gold brooch. Maybe I can buy some bread.
I've been to the new market, Rachel.
Couldn't I get something for this brooch, Simeon?
Oh, yes. Yes, lots of things. Silver lockets, or an ivory bracelet, or a jeweled ring.
But no bread.
No. No bread, Rahel. Joshua, you'll have to find a replacement for me.
No, Simeon.
Tonight, Joshua.
I won't let you do it.
I'm not asking permission.
You can't go out there.
Why not? Maybe I can bring back some food. For ourselves, Rahel, we could stand it, my wife and I, with the children. I can't watch their bellies swell and their arms and legs grow thin and brittle as twigs. No, I'll get through the lines.
The problem is to get back, Simeon. The Romans hunt in packs.
Search him, Rufus.
No, nothing, Trifle. Not even a stolen cucumber. This one didn't get very far.
We always catch you people. What made you think you could escape us? Answer when I speak to you.
Because a fox is cleverer than a dog pack.
Watch your tongue.
Because you're deficient in destruction, but you do not know what can be destroyed and what cannot. Solomon's Temple had stood for 400 years when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon...
Quite the scholar!
...took Jerusalem and burned the temple and exiled the children of Israel, thinking that he destroyed them all.
Leave him alone.
Getting soft, Rufus.
Let him talk.
But the second temple was built in the days of Ezra and has already lasted 500 years.
But that's all. Titus, son of the emperor of Vespasian, will burn it to the ground. With my help, of course. What do you say to that, my scholar?
That's enough, Trifle. Turn him over to the sergeant.
And let him have all the pleasure?
It's enough, I said. Sergeant, here's another one for you.
What's the matter with you, Rufus?
Well, to tell you the truth, he frightens me. All of them there in that city frighten me.
Roman legionary frightened by the likes of him?
Trifle, with all the miseries they've endured, disasters, defeats in battle, famine... With all that, you heard how he spoke to us. With all that, they still fight at the walls like lions. Do you know what runs through my mind?
No. I can't make you out anymore.
I think Suppose, instead of afflictions, they had for a little time, even one day, good fortune. Or they might even defeat Roman legions.
You're in a bad way, Rufus. But cheer up. There's only one more war.
When the third wall was breached, the fighting swept into the temple enclosure. It is sometimes said that Titus intended to spare the temple itself, but the flames of battle spread without hindrance, and when they died down, nothing remained except the Western Wall. If, standing before the ancient stones, you ask why one wall survived and why this one, you must expect an answer not in the logic of history, but in the poetry of legend and tradition.
The foundation roll of the Western Wall is made of seven stones set in place of Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, and Solomon.
The Western Wall was built by the poor and needy with their own toil, not with hired labor.
Therefore, angels from heaven spread their wings over the wall, protecting it from the Roman soldiers.
Some have seen the Western Wall covered with moisture, like drops of dew.
They are tears shed by the wall as it weeps with all of Israel.
Stone survives, a wall, a city survive. But in what realm is survival? It is told that more than 100 years before Titus, when the Romans took Jerusalem for the first time, Pompey arrived, perhaps with a learned Roman guide, to inspect the temple.
This is the outer court, Your Excellency.
I see, said Pompey.
And this is the inner court.
Yes, said Pompey.
Here is the sanctuary.
Pompey nodded.
And this, Your Excellency, is the Holy of Holies, where they kept the tablets of the law that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai.
Pompey stepped past the curtain into the sacred enclosure. But there is nothing here, he said.
I should perhaps have mentioned, Your Excellency, that long ago King Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the tablets of the law when he destroyed Solomon's temple.
Then, said Pompey, this is nothing but an empty place. But he was wrong. It was the Holy of Holies. It is written in the book of the prophet Zechariah, survival is not in time or place or things. Saith the Lord of hosts, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi William Frankel, spiritual leader of Beth Hillel Congregation, Wilmette, Illinois. Rabbi Frankel.
In the days of antiquity, three cities were the spiritual capitals of Western civilization. They were Rome, Athens, and Jerusalem. Now, the visitor to Athens and Rome is impressed by the many visible remnants of historic edifices and monuments which give testimony to the past glory of the two cities. By contrast, little is left of the Jerusalem of the days of the kings and of the prophets, of the first and second commonwealth. Nothing is left except one single wall. During its 3,000 years of history, Jerusalem was more than once completely destroyed, burned to the ground, But again and again, the city has risen from the ashes. For Jerusalem is more than a city. It is more than a maze of homes and streets and alleys. Jerusalem is an ideal. Jerusalem is a concept. The rabbis in the Talmud refer to it as Yerushalayim Shel Mala, the Jerusalem on the Most High. When the city was destroyed and its people driven into exile, it continued to live on as an idea. A concept is not confined to city limits. During his long wanderings, wherever the Jew pitched his tent, he took Jerusalem with him. And now, the Jerusalem on the Most High has returned to the geographic Jerusalem. The idea and the city have been reunited, God willing, for all time to come. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Frankel. Our eternal life drama today, The Western Wall, written by Joseph Mindell, was the second in a series entitled Jerusalem the Golden. Featured today were Stotz Cotsworth as Matthias and Leon Janney as Joshua. Others in the cast are Rita Lloyd, Gilbert Mack, Donald Buca, Alan Bergman, Humphrey Davis, and Ivor Francis. The narrator, Lester Rollins. We invite you to join us next week for the third in this series, written by Joseph Mindell, Journey to the Holy Land. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.